So yesterday we talked about the first two steps of the example of Brahma Baba, and they were generosity and sustaining. And today, yesterday I heard that some people were cold, so I asked them if they can put the heaters on. I think they're on now. You're okay? Feeling it? So they said, how many people are in the class? I said, maybe 50, 60, because they asked if it's more than 100 or 200. But still they put the heating on. You see, this is the example of generosity in practical, and how that generosity sustains, because some people were saying, oh, we don't want to come again because it's too cold. So that generosity, you can also see, leads on to the second step of sustaining. So thanks to our Brahma Baba, who was the instrument to set in place all of this. And of course, he was the one without whom we wouldn't have even been able to start such a movement, which I think one way I like to see this as a movement, because we're really moving the world towards a better place. But, you know, imagine someone who was a millionaire, multimillionaire. Do you know any millionaires, multimillionaires? Can you imagine any of them giving everything? I mean, you know, people give a little bit, people give something towards, you know, helping in an organization, but Brahma Baba gave everything, and it sustained the yajna, again, generosity and sustenance, sustained the yajna for 14 years. He and a few others who came with some wealth. But can you imagine someone doing that? I mean, we take it for granted because we kind of hear about it and we think, well, yeah. But it's really not a small thing to think of someone giving everything. And then one of the points coming up today is the humility. Then not only that, to have the humility to put this organization in the names of 8 trustees, all of whom were women. So not even his own name as one of the trustees, to give to that extent and really to take on a life of simplicity, because he was a very wealthy person with, I'm sure, a lot of facilities, but to then live in such a small little room. You know Baba's room now? Actually, Baba's room was half that size. It wasn't this size. They've made it bigger so that we can all sit there. But that half where the bed is, it was only that side. So it was a very small room. He used to sleep on that, you know, that mattress on the floor. So just imagine how somebody, can you imagine yourself, let alone imagining someone else? Can you imagine yourself giving everything? Everything. Not something, but everything. And because of that generosity, this organization has been sustained. I was trying to get some of the seniors to come who actually were with Brahma Baba, because nothing like first-hand experiences. But it's made me realize that these are the treasures of the confluence age, those who are still alive and were with Brahma Baba. There's very few now, actually. When you start trying to find someone, there's very few. I've had the fortune of traveling to many of the centers around India. You find them there, but even then, not many. The dadis now, even in the last year, maybe 8 have gone, you know, from the different centers around India. So there's very few of them, so we should appreciate them greatly. And also just a suggestion at this time to look at some of the books that and some of the stories of the seniors, of the dadis, because now we have to rely on books for those first-hand experiences. But still, they have passed down, you know, Brahma Baba, and through Brahma Baba, he's passed down the whole culture, because there's a culture of humility. And I remember, I was telling you one story yesterday of Dadiji, but I remember another experience with her, that we're walking to the lake. We used to go for a walk most days after lunch, and we're walking to the down to the lake, and she walked up to me from behind. I was 21 years old, less than 1 year in Gyan. Can you imagine the head of the organization walked up to me from behind and said, "What do you think about service in Australia? How can we expand service in Australia?" And I thought, you're asking me? Who am I to say anything? I'm so small. But imagine that humility, that she thought nothing of that, to walk up to this young little girl, really, and, you know, ask that. And then Dadi Manohar, she was sitting with a few of us, and others were even younger than me, 15, 18 years old. We were very young, the group from Australia in the beginning. And Dadi Manohar said, "Tell me something, I want to learn from you." Can you imagine? Dadi Manohar was, you know, with Brahma Baba from the early days, and she said to us, "Tell me something, I want to learn from you." Again, such humility. And Dadi Janki, I remember in one class, was saying that it's very easy to teach, but it's a big deal to learn. Isn't it? What do you find easier, teaching or learning? At least I find very easy to teach, easy to speak, but to learn and to change and to grow. And this was also from the example of Brahma Baba. Because, you know, Ramesh Bhai, who, you know, Baba's, the third step Baba's talking about, or that's in this book today. So let me get to that. The third step is, like Father Brahma, be one who has pure and positive thoughts for others. And actually in Hindi, and this is the greatness of India, they have a language that's so clear about this, Shubh Chintan, pure thoughts, just to have pure thoughts. And then Shubh Chintak, Shubh Chintan, Shubh Chintak, which is to have pure thoughts for others. Shubh Chintan, Shubh Chintak. So be ones who have pure thoughts and positive thoughts for others, and full of good wishes, and pure feelings. Full of good wishes, and pure feelings. So coming back to Ramesh Bhai, I think you've heard his story, Ramesh, who, Brother Ramesh from Mumbai. It took 8 years for him to recognize Baba. His mother was a BK, and he used to call Brahma Baba my mother's guru for 8 years. But Baba only had good wishes and pure feelings and so much humility, because Ramesh Bhai came number one in the whole of India in chartered accountancy. He's such a big kind of great personality. So for him to recognize, you know, that this is not just my mother's guru, but imagine Brahma Baba for 8 years just having those good wishes and pure feelings, because he was a diamond merchant. I think he could always recognize a great jewel, which was Ramesh Bhai and Usha Ben, who was his partner. And I think you must have heard the story that at he used to, you know, the entrance and exit of Madhavan in those days was behind the kitchen. You know, behind the kitchen. That was the road to come in and out. And there's a big banyan tree there. And so Baba used to give leave to the parties that were going from under that tree. And on one occasion, Brahma Baba had a tear in his eye when he was saying goodbye to Ramesh Bhai. And that was it. After 8 years, Ramesh Bhai melted and was able to recognize this great soul. Because that's also the thing, when you're so humble, sometimes it's hard to recognize who is this. So I remember Dadi, we call her Tikkam Dadi, Dadi Hriday Pushpa. Yeah, from Bangalore. We also always used to call her Tikkam Dadi. She never used to call Baba, Baba. Because she said she wanted to always be aware that this is God. And sometimes when we just say Baba, it's quite casual. It's very close, which of course we like in one sense, but we should never forget that this is God. Sometimes in our closeness and in our familiarity, we can forget that. And I met one brother in Delhi who we just went to invite him to our program, and not realizing that he had any form of connection. And he told me that he was working in Ahmedabad for a month, and he came to Mount Abu for a month. And every day he used to walk around Naki Lake with Brahma Baba. And this was in 1959. So obviously Brahma Baba, you know, was already kind of so great. I mean, 36, 37 to 59. But he never realized who he was. He said he was so humble. We used to just go for a walk together. Only later I realized who he was, because Brahma Baba just kept this softness. And I think the one that I feel, I mean, everyone's got their own feelings, but I think for me, Dadi Gulzar carries the kind of softness that I would imagine was in Brahma Baba. So soft, like, I don't know, she's almost not there. She's almost not here, because she's just in her beautiful feelings. And I remember one time traveling from Ahmedabad to Mount Abu. And you know, we used to stop and have lunch when the roads weren't so good. It took a lot longer. So we used to sometimes stop and have lunch at a picnic place. And when we stopped there, she said to this girl who was working there as the cleaner. This girl was sweeping the area and cleaning the area. And she stopped and said to this sister who was working there, she said, with so much respect and humility, she said, is it okay for us to have our lunch here? You know, I mean, normally people treat those girls like they're nothing, like they don't even exist. They just treat them like servants and they don't even have any soul, you know? But the way she looked and spoke to this sister brought tears to my eyes. And I think this is what I feel when I think of Brahma Baba's humility. It's so softening, you know? It melts the heart. It really melts when we see an example of this humility. And so the two steps today, the third step is this good wishes, and the other one is the humility of being an instrument, which we'll come to. But you can see how they're so connected, because, you know, it starts here by saying, Father Brahma served the whole world. Father Brahma served the whole world with his attitude of being a well-wisher for everyone. And again, it takes humility to be such a well-wisher. We have to step outside of our own dramas. We have to step outside of our own culture. I mean, a well-wisher for the whole world. We hear how Brahma Baba used to stay awake all night to just meditate for all the souls in the world that were suffering. And I know for myself, I try to know what's going on in the world, not in detail, but I try to be aware of the suffering because, you know, these are all my brothers and sisters. If it was happening in my country, or the country I come from, Australia, I would probably have an interest, what is happening there. So why should I not have the same interest for every corner of the world? Because if we think in a soul conscious way, everyone in the whole world is my brother and sister. So if I can just know what's going on in those places, I can just have good wishes and pure feelings and, you know, really, like Baba says, listen to the cries and give something. So Brahma Baba served the whole world with his attitude of being a well-wisher for everyone. Similarly, follow the Father. Spread the rays of your pure thoughts everywhere into the world like the sun. Spread the rays of your pure thoughts everywhere into the world like the sun. To have pure feelings means to have powerful thoughts. To have clean, pure, and powerful thoughts for every soul to benefit. To have clean, pure, and powerful thoughts for every soul to benefit. For this, pay attention to two things. So what do you think you would need to pay attention to make your thoughts clean, pure, and powerful? Solitude and concentration. Solitude and concentration. Give all the variety souls who come into contact and relationship with you wings of courage through your attitude of pure and positive thoughts. Your pure feelings will fill their wings with so much power that they will begin to fly. So am I able to do this? Have I seen this in practical? Have you seen this in your connection and relationship with others? Because it's not just a matter of, you know, saying, well, Brahma Baba could do this and did do this, but, you know, what's our aim to be like that? Am I able to fill those wings with so much power that they begin to fly? That is, they will become cooperative. And Baba says, do not give teachings, but give loving cooperation. Don't give teachings to others when you see some mistakes, weaknesses, but give loving cooperation. And worse, not judge. You know, sometimes, even still, sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's to make ourselves feel better. You know, we don't feel so good and we want to feel that I'm really quite good. So when we see others going down, we are quite happy because we feel I'm good. I mean, it sounds so bad, but we all see that, no? It's such a low thinking that when somebody's going through some drama, some learning experience, let's say, that we judge them. We say, oh, I knew that they would, that would happen, or it would be like that. Do not be detached. Do not step away. But be a support for them. And I just heard the story of Dada Chandras. He was a Madhuban Nawasi. He's left the body now. But he left Baba at one point. He left the studies. He left Baba. Every soul, I don't know in the Yagya or in Madhuban, but I heard everyone wrote him a letter. Everyone. He came back. But isn't that beautiful? You know, when somebody's leaving, not to let them go, not to step away and be detached. What can I do? And one is not enough. I think one is not enough at that time. But imagine if all of us, even if we don't do it physically, we don't write a letter, we don't say anything, but really to surround that soul with loving, good feelings. But I do think often it's necessary to say something, because when those people, you know, are kind of under some shadow, it's not easy to pick up our good feelings. So we often need to, you know, to really show in some practical way. Maybe if it's, I know one brother in Hong Kong, his wife, they both came into Gyan, and his wife stopped studying. So she kind of left Baba in that sense, and she stopped coming to class, she stopped. Every day for a year, he would bring a rose. You know, he would come back for class, often I think she'd still be in bed. He'd just put a rose next to her every day. He never said anything. He just did that every day. She came back after 1 year, but not to say anything, not to judge, but just to show in a consistent way that you're having these good wishes, these loving feelings and good wishes. So to a certain extent, thoughts work, but it's more powerful if you can actually find the way to say something, either through a letter, through words, or do something. And I know in Hong Kong we had 6 points that we put together as a family, that this was like, we called it our code of conduct, but we made these 6 points that we all, I used to keep it next to the desk so that it was right there in front of me all the time. And one of them was, I will be the first to reach out. So it means, you know, if anyone goes away for a trip, as soon as you know they're back, call them, how are you? You know, just to reach out to each other. Because sometimes we think people know that they're loved and they're part of the family, but it's much more effective if we show and demonstrate it in some way. But I'll be the first to reach out. And if we develop that sanskar, it's like we develop the art, I think, of reaching out. And we'll get better at it because we develop it. And so we really are then able to reach out at a time of need. So Baba says here, do not make those who have fallen fall further, uplift them. And I think yesterday I mentioned the third step was to uplift others. It's actually pure thoughts and good wishes, but I think what I took most when I was reading this is this whole thing of uplifting. And good thoughts and good wishes, it is all about uplifting, always having these feelings to uplift others. And it doesn't mean also just uplifting others when they're down. It's also uplifting others so that they can go ahead of me, ahead of everyone. And I remember one Muli, Baba said, why is the service? Why are the souls, I think it was, why are the souls not sacrificing themselves as they did in the beginning? And Baba said it's because we don't put others ahead as Brahma Baba did. Brahma Baba always said children first, whether it was giving a lecture, whether it was any kind of means of progress, it was always children first, children first. So it's a very big thing. And this is, I would say, one of the biggest blocks in our family at the moment, that we don't often want others to go ahead of us. We want to be seen as something. So we don't, you know, just keep putting others ahead and ahead. Whenever there's a chance, put others ahead. And Baba says, and it's my experience very much, that when you put others ahead, you go ahead without asking, without looking for it. It's karmic also. If you put others ahead, of course, you're going to go ahead. If you believe in the philosophy of karma, it works. But I've just seen it in a very practical way. So while seeing others' weaknesses, do not make those who have fallen fall further, uplift them. While seeing their weaknesses, do not see them, but give them enthusiasm and courage. And then Baba says, because these are quotes from Mullis, good wishes and pure feelings increase your account of accumulation of charity. Good wishes and pure feelings increase your account of accumulation of charity. And often that word, I should have looked it up, because I got the Hindi, because sometimes the Hindi and the English are a little bit different meaning, but usually the word that is translated into charity is a bit misleading, because we think nowadays actually the origins of the word charity is also much deeper than we use it today, like giving a donation, that kind of charity, because again the prefix is connected with all these very deep words like charisma, character, you know. It's actually, so the word in Hindi is, you know, it means to be pure and elevated. That's the word that's translated into charity, to be pure and elevated. So good wishes and pure feelings increase your account of accumulation of being a pure and elevated soul. But this stage of being pure and elevated also has within it the thing that when I'm pure and elevated, it's naturally bestowed. You know, so that's why it's a very deep and meaningful word. For this, so to increase the good wishes and pure feelings and increase your account of accumulation of charity, for this, what do we have to do? Main thing? What's the biggest obstacle to pure thoughts and good wishes? Especially when, I mean, it's often easy to have good thoughts and pure wishes for those who are being nice to us. But to have pure thoughts and good wishes, even when somebody's trying to maybe pull us down, for this, stop having waste thoughts, listening to wasteful things, and relating wasteful things. Be one who has pure and positive thoughts and transform something bad into something good. And this is what Kal was saying the other day, that often when we have negative thoughts, we feel bad about ourselves. We kind of feel guilty. So what we need to do is see why I'm having that feeling, because perhaps I value something. I have to see the value I have, you know, rather than going into, oh, I'm so bad to think like this, see what value I hold and transform. So even when people are doing something, you know, it's because they're needing something and they're not using probably a direct method to get it fulfilled. So when people, you know, start to try and get their needs fulfilled in a, you know, in a different kind of way, then they come out as being, you know, aggressive or arrogant or whatever. And so let me see what's the pure intention behind that. Like someone who has ego, you know, we often use this expression, oh, he loves himself or she loves herself, don't we? We use that expression, oh, they love themselves when they have ego. Actually, someone who has ego doesn't love themselves at all. Otherwise, they wouldn't need to be trying to prove something. Someone who has ego is lacking self-respect. And so rather than see the ego that's coming up, and that often brings up my ego in a reaction, see that they're really needing some recognition, some self-respect. So to transform something bad into something good. Let your intentions and feelings, always be elevated. And then the fourth step, or maybe let's stop like we did yesterday and just reflect on this third step and think on a chart. If I was doing a chart, what is my account of good wishes and pure feelings? And what is blocking that? Tomorrow, Stephen, Brother Stephen from the hospital is going to do a class on attitude. Of course, that's a very big thing behind our thoughts and feelings, our attitude. But just to think, what's stopping our pure thoughts and good wishes, and how I can bring them up to the level of Brahma Baba. So just spend a few minutes in reflection on that. And especially reflecting on this clean and pure heart. Okay, now into the fourth step. Like Brahma Baba, be a humble instrument and give everyone regard. Brahma Baba in the Sakha form became an instrument and demonstrated every action by performing every action as a discipline. This is what got me looking up the Hindi, because I thought, what does that really mean, to demonstrate every action as a discipline? And in the Hindi what it says, by doing every action himself. You know, like we've heard the stories how Brahma Baba was cleaning the toilets. You know, everyone was shocked because in India that's quite a big thing. But of course, by doing everything himself, he showed by his own example how to do everything. Everything Brahma Baba taught was by example. And this is the greatest method we can share with others, by being an example, not by teaching, not by saying things, but by showing in our practical example. Cal was telling me also that she saw Dadi Gulzar, somebody, you know, in India they still have this very, very, very humble kind of practice of bowing down and touching your feet. It's still practiced a lot. It's so humble, isn't it? I find that incredible. I couldn't imagine
myself having that much humility to bow down and touch someone's feet.
But they still do it in India. And I don't know what to do when they do this, because the first time someone did it to me, I stepped back. I was so shocked and surprised. I stepped back, and it was so embarrassing for both of us, because, you know, all of his good feelings were like, it was very bad to step back. So I don't know what to do when people bend down to touch my feet, you know. It's so humble of them. But what Kal was saying, she saw Dadi Gulzar, when somebody bent down to touch her feet. You know, she's not young, right? She went right down and brought the person up and told that lady, you are a Shakti. And something else she said, you are a Shakti? She said, you are a Shakti. You know, so beautiful. So, I mean, that person will never forget that. They won't think of her as any old guru that you bow down and touch their feet, or senior or something. But you can imagine the impact. And, of course, the way of doing it with so much respect. He was humble and gave children... Okay, these are the steps. He was humble and gave children regard and then gave advice. First humble, then give regard, then give advice. Now you think how we often give advice. Often it's with some kind of ego. You don't know how to do it? You know, this kind of an attitude. So first be humble, give regard, and then advice. In the same way, give one another regard as a discipline, through your own example. Always remember the slogan, whatever is my attitude, always remember the slogan, whatever is my attitude, as the instrument soul, the atmosphere will be according to that. Whatever is my attitude as the instrument soul, the atmosphere will be according to that. So it's a very great responsibility that we carry to maintain a very elevated atmosphere, especially when things are not going very right. Often we start commenting or get affected or, you know, somehow come into a little upheaval. But to what extent am I able to uphold a very stable atmosphere, whether it's when someone's making a mistake? And I think some of you have seen, you know, situations where Bap Dada was sitting here. Often it was here. It doesn't happen in Shantivan now because of security. But Bap Dada would be sitting here and someone would just come up from the audience. Maybe they've, you know, got a little excited in their mind or something. But they would come up and we would all be just watching how Baba's going to handle this. And then, of course, everyone needs to, you know, help the atmosphere stay very stable. But watching Baba handle souls who were, you know, going through some, it's happened a few times, was very beautiful, because Baba then held that atmosphere also for everyone and taught us how to handle situations where, you know, somebody, because of what they're going through, is creating some kind of upheaval. So, you know, just remembering back to those situations. But one I particularly remember, this was in the meditation hall, because that's where we used to meet Baba. When I first came, there were about maybe 25, 30 double foreigners. And still, can you imagine, we queued up from like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We were only 25 and we were given those seats right at the front,
But we all queued up to get the best seat, because if I was there first, I'd get to sit next to Dadiji, who would sit on the floor in front of Baba while Baba was speaking the Muli. And if I wasn't the first, I'd be the next seat. But there was that much, you know, zeal and enthusiasm to be right there. But one time Baba was meeting, and it got late because Baba used to stay till 3-4 o'clock in the morning and come every second day, you know. We used to not know if it's night or day, because imagine, Baba would come every second day. We would be up until 4 o'clock in the morning. The next day we'd kind of recover, and then the next day it would happen again. So this is how it was for, you know, those first few years when Baba used to meet personally. So there was a queue of souls to meet Baba, and then they announced, it must have been like 1 o'clock in the morning, and then they announced, okay, now Baba won't meet anyone else personally. Whoever was going to meet today, Baba's coming again in 2 days' time, you can meet then. I mean, very reasonable, no? Only 2 days they have to wait. But this sister, who was maybe two or three after that, and then Baba just gave those ones Toli, who he wasn't going to meet personally. So he just gave those ones Toli. But then this sister came, and she said to Baba in a very desperate state, she said, "But Baba, I want what everyone else has got. I've been waiting for such a long time. I can't wait any longer." She was like in this very excited, desperate state. Oh, the way Baba talked to her. Baba said, Baba just paused and brought the whole atmosphere into silence. And Baba said, "You're going to cry when you hear this." Baba said, "Baba's also been waiting to meet you for such a long time." Oh my gosh. We were all just, you know, it was so loving and beautiful. So beautiful. And then Baba said to this sister, "Is everything okay?" And she said, "No, sometimes I don't like you." Directly she said to Baba, "Sometimes I don't like you." And Baba said, this is how Baba said it, with so much humility, "Oh, why?" Imagine. Baba just said, "Oh, why?" And she said, "Sometimes you're too strong in the Muli. I don't like it when you're very strong." And so Baba said, "Oh, maybe you need to understand Baba a bit more. Should I arrange a special teacher for you?" She said, "Yes." Just like that, "Yes." So right there, in front of everyone, Baba said, "Will you be able to sit with her and help her to understand what Baba's intention is?" And then he said to her, "She will sit with you. Is it okay?" And this sister said, "Yes, okay." Like this, still not very softened. "Okay." And so then she was very happy and content. But this humility, this softness, this connecting with the soul was so beautiful. So Baba has taught us how to maintain an atmosphere. So when you become an instrument to give any soul the treasures you have received from the Father, keep the awareness that you are giving that soul the treasures that you have taken from the Father. So we should never forget that whatever we have in terms of even our virtues, let alone knowledge and all of this, but everything is from Baba. So keep the awareness that you are giving that soul the treasures you have taken from the Father. And sometimes it's good to really reflect on, you know, what would you be like if you weren't with Baba now? Would you have these qualities and this wisdom? You know, we need to really remind ourselves of what we were and what we could have been now without Baba molding and shaping us. Because I know for myself, I was a teenager, you know, so I was a bit of an activist in the sense, you know, anti-uranium mining and save the whales, save the trees, save the dolphins, all of those things. And
You know, my attitude, I remember, was very frustrated, often arrogant in the sense you think, these people are stupid. Don't they understand that this world has to last a few more thousand years, you know? But the attitudes of, like, being frustrated, being angry sometimes, being, you know, judging and blaming, you know? But the way Baba has helped us to position ourselves in this chaos in the world, because we know that everything's going to get worse before it gets better. We know that everyone's playing their part. It's each one's part to do what they're doing. Baba's teachings give us so many right attitudes that really help us to be very calm. And I read a saying that helped me even after Gyan, because I guess I would say I'm quite a passionate soul. And I read this saying. It said, wisdom is passion and tranquility. Wisdom is passion and tranquility. So the philosophy, the teachings that Baba is giving us, is, at least I can say, it's given me the tranquility to deal with all the things, the injustice, the whatever we see going on in the world. If I apply Baba's teachings, then even though I have a passion, I can temper it with this wisdom that Baba's given. So just think, what kind of a attitude and what kind of a state of mind would you be in? Very worried also. I mean, it's very worrying, the state of the world. But now, you know, the way Brahmins can accept and face so many things, because Baba's given us all these treasures that help us transform our attitude. So Baba's saying, always have the awareness that you are giving that soul the treasures you have taken from the Father. By doing this, you will have the intoxication of elevated self-respect and also humility. So this is the balance with humility, self-respect. Baba talks later about the wrong kind of humility. He says, lack of love doesn't allow you to be merciful and gentle. But in some cases, because of too much love, the virtue of humility also causes damage. Therefore, together with humility, let there also be the intoxication of being a master. Right? So through being a humble instrument, that humility will really help us. But at the same time, we need to be in the awareness of being a master and having self-respect. Just as the Father with humility became the children's servant, and to the extent that he was great, he was also humble, similarly keep this balance and there'll never be any loss. To make yourself bow down is to make the world bow down to you. And just as I was talking about Tikkam Dadi, this was her three words. Jukka Jukka, bow bow. Ma ma, die die. Seek seek, learn learn. So this was always her like mantra. To bow, to die, and to learn. But of course,
keeping that balance with being the master and having self-respect.
Create every thought and perform every action with the self-respect of being the master world creator. And you will also automatically develop the virtue of humility and easiness. If you serve considering yourself to be an instrument, then you'll easily be able to step away from attachment and subservience. But again, reading this, I had to think about it because I thought, oh, if I think I'm a master world creator, with this self-respect, you automatically develop humility and easiness. You wouldn't think so because master world creator is pretty powerful. But then if you think about it, what does it mean for a BK to be a master world creator? What kind of world are we creating? A world of love, a world of purity, a world of peace. So when we think of being a master world creator, in the sense of the kind of world that we are hoping for in our new world, I can only create that by being that. I can only bring a world of peace if I'm peaceful, a world of love if I'm loving. So in that sense, I thought, yeah, that's really humbling to think that I am the master world creator. It's up to me to create that beautiful world. So I need to embody all of the things that that new world should be. With the awareness of being a trustee and an instrument, always remain light, and the power to take decisions will work well. Right? With the awareness of being a trustee and an instrument, always remain light, and the power to take decisions will work well at the right time, and so you'll continue to receive success. Om Shanti. So again, just 3 minutes to reflect on what it would take for me to follow in the footsteps of Brahma as the humble instrument, giving everyone regard.